Now, we certainly give a warm welcome to everyone tonight at the meeting. Thank you very much for coming on this Sunday night. The announcements are that we're going to continue this week, each night, at 7:30 through to Friday night. And I guess there's Friday night's a special night anyway, so I'm not sure what the announcements are on that one. For the children's, there's a children's treat, I guess, here on Friday night. So the children know all about that, I'm sure, and the parents. So we continue through till Friday night. There'll be meetings each night here. Friday night will be a different time, as most will know. No meeting on Saturday, and of course Sunday, the regular meetings are here again in this building. So we're really appreciate everyone that has come tonight. Nice to see each one. Thank you very much for being with us. And for all the boys and girls that are here, we certainly appreciate seeing so many. And each one, thank you too. So now before we read the Bible, we will pray. Our Father, we bow before Thee here this evening, and we're thankful for the privilege of taking these few moments together to lift our hearts to Thee, to speak to Thee, and to acknowledge our need of God in our meeting tonight. We're thankful, our Father, that we come to one that has a real interest in our gathering and really has more interest we would understand than we would ourselves. We're thankful that Thou didst willingly and voluntarily give Thy Son to go all the way to the cross of Calvary there to suffer, bleed, and die, that we might have our sins forgiven, that we might know without a doubt whatsoever that all is well for the great eternity. And so we pray tonight for this company that is before us. We pray for the boys and girls. We pray for the older ones tonight, the middle age, all in between. We commend each one to Thee. And for those that are not saved, our Father, we pray that tonight might be a night when they'll get located as to where they are and that they might find the Savior. So we look to Thee and we pray Thy blessing here and upon the gospel right across the land tonight as we look to Thee now and ask these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I'm going to read a verse, first of all, please, in the 1 Thessalonians. In the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5. This is a verse that I was just reading this afternoon. And this verse, I just appreciated this verse as I was reading. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and reading verse 24. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, reading verse 24. And it's speaking, if we'd have read before that verse, it's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says concerning Him, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Now I'm going to read a story in the Old Testament tonight. And this is a story about a boy, a young boy, in 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. This boy is at the temple, and he is laid down to go to sleep. And verse 4, 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 4, it says that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, Samuel answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again. Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again, the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And I just thought, as I read that 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And you know that really that's what the Lord wants to do tonight. I couldn't help but think that of that verse. The first thing that came to my mind is this one, the Lord Jesus Christ, this one is he is the faithful one. For it says here, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. So he is one who is trustworthy. The man that we're speaking about tonight, and the man that when the gospel is preached here on Sunday nights and special gospel meetings over years that are gone by, and in the past couple of weeks we've been here, you know, the man that we're seeking to present to you tonight is a man who is trustworthy. I hope that you get that tonight. This man is trustworthy. There's a lot of men that are not trustworthy. There's a lot of people that are not trustworthy. But this man that we're speaking about, the Lord Jesus Christ, is a man that is trustworthy. He is worthy of your trust. Faithful is he that calleth you. Not only is he a trustworthy one, but he is a personal one, person. He calleth you. So he's interested in you personally. So not only is he one that is a person that is trustworthy, but he is a person that is personally interested in every individual in our meeting tonight. So all these boys and girls here tonight, all these boys and girls, you know something? The Lord Jesus Christ is interested in you personally. He knows all about you, of course, and he knows what your name is. I don't know what your name is. I see some of your faces here. I'm beginning to recognize. So he's not like me like that. You know what? He knows everything about everyone. In fact, the Bible says that he even knows how many hair you have in your head. So he could count the hairs on your head. And with the boys and girls, I can see there's quite a few. Others, not so many. But he knows every hair on your head. And you know more than that, he is personally interested in you that you might be saved. And that's the message of the gospel. So faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Not only that, but I just thought as I read that today, he's one that's capable. Not only is he trustworthy, not only is he personal, but he is one that is capable. He is one that can do what no other person is able to do. He can do for you tonight, my friend, what all the Christians here put together couldn't do. If all put together, wouldn't have the power to even begin. We couldn't even make an anxious thought, actually. We couldn't even stir a person to make you want to be saved. If we had that power, you know, if I had the power to save, you know what would happen tonight before you could get through that door back there? You know what would happen to everyone here tonight that's not saved? Before you could get through that door back there, I would save you in spite of yourself, whether you want to be saved or not. I'd save you anyway because there's the destiny of heaven and of hell. And we are all tonight, my friend, going to one of those two places. And our heart's desire here would be is that you might not miss heaven, but that you might get that great matter settled. But you know, the man that we're talking about tonight, the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is capable of saving everyone here tonight, every person. And it wouldn't matter, it doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what your name is, doesn't matter what your background is, doesn't matter what language you speak, doesn't matter what part of the world you come from, this man is capable, he has the ability, he has the power, and he is able to save every boy, every girl, every man, every woman, with one stipulation. Only if you want to be saved. You know, a man said one time, and I wrote it down, I'm going to read it, if his conditions are met, God is bound by his word to forgive any man and any woman of any sin because of Christ. And you know, when I read that, that just kind of thrilled my soul. Because God is bound to forgive any man, any woman, any boy, any girl of any sin because of Christ. And he's the one that's capable. The Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, we commend him to you this evening in this gospel meeting. We lift that name up tonight before your gaze as a man that is able to be your Savior, to forgive your sins and to make you ready for heaven. Do you know that's what you need? When I read 1 Samuel chapter 3, and I was reading that today, I'm always a little afraid of 1 Samuel chapter 3. The first gospel meetings that I ever tried to help a little bit in was way back, wasn't all that long saved. And so we were in a little place called Fogo Island off the coast of Newfoundland with a man called by the name of Mr. Ephraim Freak, and he could preach like a machine gun. And anyway, in those meetings for one night, I don't know, I read 1 Samuel chapter 3, tried to preach a little word on 1 Samuel chapter 3, the Lord calling. And so the next night he said to me, Mr. Freak said to me, what are you preaching on tonight, David? Well, I was a little uncomfortable when he asked that. Well, he said, you know, I would suggest that you just leave Samuel asleep. So I gathered, I didn't get my message across very good on that night. So every time I think of this portion here, I'm just a little afraid. But you know what I have learned in reading about this young man? This young man here was a young man that God was interested in even before he was born. You know, he was prayed for even before he was born. And I think of the boys and girls here tonight. That's kind of my thought. You know, the boys and girls here tonight, it wouldn't surprise me that some in this meeting tonight, you were prayed for before you was born into this world. There was maybe mom or dad or grandparents, someone that prayed that this boy or this girl that's being born, that's going to be born, that they will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, this capable one, that they will come to know him, that you would come to know him as your personal Savior. So Samuel was a boy that was prayed for before he was born. He was longed for. I was thinking of Samuel today. You know what? You know really what the Lord wanted in this young man's life? You know what God wanted when he called him sound asleep, like a lot today, sound asleep and drifting down the road of life, heading for the great eternity, going through this world. A lot of people, and you know what a lot of people are? Sound asleep without even realizing of what lies ahead, the danger that lies ahead. Because every day we live, my friend, the day you and I are living in, every day is a dangerous day. Every day is a day where we are just hanging on that brittle thread of life. And our little life could terminate so quickly, could come to an end so quickly. So I thought of Samuel. You know what that call, thinking of call, it was a call to attention. God was trying to get his attention. The Lord was wanting the attention of this young man. So he says, Samuel. Samuel's sound asleep. And he awakens him. You know what would be a kindness of God tonight for boys and girls and men and women tonight? If you got a call to attention. If God got your attention tonight. I remember our daughter one night woke up in the middle of the night and she was screeching. In the middle of the night, screeching. And so, of course, as a parent, I didn't know what had happened. We didn't know what was going on. And we jumped out of bed and rushed out to her room to see what was happening. And she was there shaking and sobbing. You know what she said? She said, I was dreaming. I was dreaming. And I dreamed the Lord came and I was left behind. And she awoke with a, you know what? You know what the Lord was trying to get her attention. Don't get saved in a dream. Nobody gets saved in a dream. But the Lord was getting her attention. And she was made aware that the Lord is coming. There's something that's going to happen. And we are right on the verge of the Lord's coming without any doubt, my friend. And the boys and girls here tonight, you know that so well as I do. We are right on the verge of one of the greatest happenings that this world is going to experience. For there's going to be a shout made one day or one night from heaven. And those that are saved are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. I wonder how many boys and girls, I wonder how many seats would be empty here tonight. If we went up and down every row in this building tonight, in this auditorium, I wonder, would your seat be empty? If the Lord came, if that shout was given, would your seat be empty tonight? Are you ready for the Lord's coming? Would you hear that shout? Would your ear be tuned? Well, I tell you, there's a man tonight that would like for you to be ready. There's a man tonight that did everything possible that you might make ready for the Lord's coming. That's why he called Samuel. He had a work for Samuel to do. He wanted Samuel. He was interested in Samuel. And God is interested in you tonight. That's why there's gospel meetings. Because God wants to come into your life. So it was a call to attention. You know, one of the first things a person needs to get located about or get their attention is get located. To get located. Where they're at. You know, and we use the chart quite a bit. Here, I enjoy the chart anyway. Looking at the chart, it's eye gate. Yeah, I see it with my eye when you look at the chart. So when you look in this chart, and we're thinking about getting located, you look at this chart to find out where you are on the chart, where you're at. And I look at this chart quite often, even myself. That's where I'm at on this chart. And if I had to put an X here tonight where I'm at on this chart, I know where I'd put my X. Where would you put your X? Boys tonight, where would you put your X on this chart? Girls, where would you put your X? You know, one of the most important things before you find out where you're going And how to get there? You know what you got to find out is where I'm at right now. I need to get located. My wife and I were going to her niece's in New Jersey one time, not very long ago now, maybe a couple of years ago. We left Methuen, and I phoned Ray to get directions, because he'd done that over the years. So he gave me all the names and all the exits, and exit this, and take this exit, and take this exit. So, of course, I put it in the GPS. And so we're traveling down 95 or 493, 495 or whatever it was. We're traveling down 95, and all of a sudden, this lady's voice comes on and tells me to take an exit. Exit, whatever, take exit. And so I look at the paper Ray gave me, and I said, well, that's not right. That's not the exit. And so I just drive right past the exit. And then it's pretty soon, down the road another little ways, on comes this lady's voice, tells me to take this exit. And I look at the paper that Ray gave me, not on the paper, so I just go past that exit. And then we go by, I don't know how many more, and then finally I push a button that shuts her off. I shut her off because she was tormenting me to take an exit. But you know what I realized after about 2 hours, beyond where I should have turned off? You know what I realized? We were way down, beyond Rhode Island and way down there heading out for a point of land. I said, hey, to my wife, I said, hey, something's not right here. So we went on a little farther until we got to come to a little store, and I went in and I bought a map. And I looked at that map and I said to my wife, Ethel, I said, you know, we got to find out where we're at here. I know where I want to go, but I don't know where I'm at right now, so I don't know how I'm going to get there. So I looked at that map. You know what I found? We were way down here. We should have turned off up here. Should have listened to the GPS. Ray had forgot to give me one exit. He missed it. So we're way down here. So, of course, then I had to look at the map to where, how am I going to get back up here? You know what? See this chart here tonight? See this road? There are two exits on this road. I call this exit A, and this is exit B. Before exit B, my friend, you need exit A. Take this exit. If you miss this exit, you know, we're like the GPS tonight. You know what we're telling you? This is the exit you have to take. This is the exit you need. If you're going to be in heaven, my friend, you need to take exit A. You know, there's two exits off of that road as well. There's exit A and exit B. Exit A is the Lord's coming, when that shout from heaven. And that could happen for those of us that are saved tonight. But if you're not saved, exit A, the door tonight to heaven, is wide open. When Christ died on the cross, was telling someone today we were, when Christ died on the cross, he opened that door. And that door, my friend, is the only way to heaven. Once a person leaves this world, no coming back. This is a one-way journey, my friend, a one-way trip. I'm going down the road of life, I'm going for eternity, and I'm never coming back. That's why I need to make right with God in life. The Bible says it's right here on earth that I get ready for heaven. It is right here on earth that I have my sins, get my sins forgiven. The Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He's the capable one. And so we would desire tonight, we would long tonight that their boys and girls might just stop, get located where you're at. So if I ask you tonight, where are you at? Which road are you on there on that chart? The broad road or the narrow road? If you're on the narrow road tonight, when did you get on the narrow road? When did you start? You know, it's good to go back to, in your thoughts, to where you got saved. Good to go over that ground because, you know, not only is it healthy as a Christian, but, you know, it thrills the soul to think about the day, the moment, when God in his mercy showed and revealed through his word the truth of his great salvation. I can remember every time I look at that verse, for God sent not his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to condemn David, but that David through him might be saved. I enjoyed and I appreciated the truth of that on a Wednesday morning, and I appreciate it and enjoy it tonight in this gospel meeting. Finding out my need. I got located. I found out I wasn't saved. I recognized that I was going on the wrong road. I was going in the wrong direction. I was headed for the wrong place. I was going to this place and I didn't want to go there. And I had to face it. And when I got located, the late Mr. Peter Matthews said he got saved the first time he heard the gospel. And he was brought up under the sound of the gospel. What he meant by that was the first time that he recognized his need of a Savior. And so it was a call to attention for this young man. He needed to get located. It was a call to awaken him. Wake up, Samuel. He was sound asleep. And you know, boys and girls and older ones tonight, if you don't stop to consider the journey of your life. I went in a hospital some time ago to visit a boy. They asked me to go visit a young man, 28 years of age. I don't know, anyone 28 here tonight? 28 years of age, when I went in that hospital ward, there's a young man sitting over there with a guitar in his hand to play a guitar. And this young man's lying on the bed, on that hospital bed, naked to the waist with a great big patch on one side. I can see it now. Shortly after I was there, the nurse comes in and changes this great big bandage, takes it off, and I could see exactly what was happening here. This young man had cancer, and it had eaten right out through. You know what he said to me? He wasn't a bit interested in the guitar. Wasn't one bit interested in the fellow playing the guitar. You know what he said to me that day, first time I ever met him? His name was Terry. He said, David, he said, is it possible for me to know for sure that I'm going to be that I can be in heaven? Can I know for sure that I'll never be in hell? Never sat in a gospel meeting? As far as I know, never heard the gospel in his life. Only what one of the Christians that spoke to him about that knew him. And now he's getting located. You know why? Because he's facing something called death. And he's leaving time for eternity. And his days are numbered. And it's only a little while, and he knows it, only a little while. And he's going to have to leave his wife behind, going to have to leave the children behind. And he's taking one long journey, all alone, into the great eternity. I've never really had that happen before, maybe a little since. He said, can I know for sure? That's all I want to know for sure. Well, you know, it was no trouble to tell Terry how that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, that he came from heaven. God sent his Son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, you know, that takes in everyone here tonight, takes in all the boys and girls tonight, takes in all our students, takes in every older one tonight, takes in every person, the world. God so loved the world, the personal God, my friend, loves you tonight, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so told Terry over and over again, it's possible to know. Isn't that wonderful? I am so glad that a person can know. This book tells me that I can know without a doubt whatsoever. My sins are forgiven and I'm ready for heaven. Do you know that tonight? Well, you say, well, I don't think about it too much. You know why? Because like Samuel here, sleeping. And need to be awakened, woken up to understand your need. And so Samuel, he got a call. The Lord wanted his attention, so he called him. He wanted him to be awakened. So he called his name, Samuel. It was a call to action because he wanted him to do something about it. And the Lord does that tonight. It's a call to action. You know, if nothing changes in your life, nothing will change. If nothing changes, nothing changes. And that's just the story in life. If you're going to be in heaven, my friend, something's got to change. There's got to be a change made. There's got to be a recognition of where you are right now, of where you stand. You know what the Bible says? No difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And my sin right now, if you're not saved, you're still without a Savior and still under that judgment of God because of your sin. So you need your sins forgiven. And so there's a call to action. You need to do something about it. You need to get in earnest about it. Ever ask God to save you? You know, some people, if you ask them, they say, oh, well, yeah, I want to be saved. I would have told you I wanted to be saved if you'd have asked me up through my teenage years. I said, oh, yes, I intend to be saved or I want to be saved. But you know, there was no act. I didn't do anything about it. I didn't make it number one. But that meeting I sat in fact, I never told the other night, but in fact, my girlfriend, I thought if I could get her saved, if she got saved tonight, then it'd be a lot easier for me to get saved. So I took her one night, asked her to go to a meeting, never been a meeting in her life. So I asked her to go to the meeting with me, and she went one night. And after the meeting was over, we're sitting in the car, and I'm kind of wondering what she thought of the meeting. And she said to me, you know, she asked me a couple of questions too. The preacher asked me a couple of questions that made a difference, but she asked me a question too. She said, do you believe what those men are preaching there? Do you believe what those men were preaching? Do you believe what these men are preaching here? Do you believe what this book says? What the Bible says? Do you believe this book? So I'm sitting there thinking, if I say yes, I could sense that maybe she wasn't so keen on that. If I said no, I knew that God would hear. So I'm weighing up. So see, it comes to a moment when you have to make a choice. And so I'm weighing it up in my mind. Yes or no? So I said to her, yes, I do. You know what she said? Well, she said, I can't really. She must have been listening because she said, if I believe what those men were preaching, my dad is in hell. That's pretty solemn, eh? But I knew enough to know that that possibly wasn't true. Because, you know, I can remember some nights we would come in. He was dying with throat cancer. But I can remember some nights when we come into that house and I can see him yet on his knees crying to God to have mercy upon him. And it wasn't just mercy for the suffering either. And I could see that night after night, and he's on his knees crying to God. Tremendous. Asking God to have mercy. You know what my Bible says? My Bible says there's a man in the Bible that asked God for mercy, and God gave it to him. And I wouldn't be one bit surprised that that man is in heaven tonight while you and I are here in this company. And so at least I told her, well, we don't know. No one can know that for sure. Only God knows. And so the choice had to be made. Well, I'm glad. You know what I'm glad of tonight? I'm glad I made a right choice. I said before God, I said, God, if there's salvation for a sinner like me, doesn't matter what the girlfriend thinks, doesn't matter what my chums think, doesn't matter what my friends think, doesn't matter what anyone thinks, I want to be saved more than anything else in the world. And so that's what God wants for you tonight. That's why he's calling. That's why he called Samuel, because he wanted Samuel. God is calling for you tonight, my friend, in this meeting, because he wants you. He is interested in you being saved. God grant, as our meeting continues, that you might have an interest, that you might respond to the call, that you might accept what Christ has done, the work he completed. When he cried, it is finished, it was for you and for me. God grant that you might receive, accept, trust him tonight, and know your sins forgiven.